some things that I think have changed for the better, okay? And you may not agree with me totally. Some of you guys are going to, as I mentioned some of these things, you're going to say, I don't know if that's better, but I'm telling you, let's talk about phones for just a minute, okay? Now, back in the day, now, I'm an older guy, I admit that, but do you remember when we used to have to do the shh, shh? That was a long time ago. Then we got push-button phones. We thought, man, we have really hit the big time. And I didn't have that phone because that's pink, but I did have a red phone in the hallway of my house, and I remember it had that cord on it, that long spiral cord, and those things could go the length of a football field. I don't know if y'all know that. It was an incredible invention. I don't know who came up. They go, let's just spiral it, and it'll get all twisty, but it's going to stretch for miles. And I remember I would be in the hallway, and I would stretch that thing into my bedroom when I was in junior high, and I'd talk to people, and that's, I think, where I asked Susan Spina to go out with me, and she said no, but anyway, that's harsh memory. But I remember thinking that was a pretty cool thing with the phones. But we also, do y'all remember these pay phones, okay? I remember I worked at a camp in the summer, and I would go on my time off, and I would call my now wife, at that time my girlfriend, I would call her on a payphone, and you had to put money in, and then they would say, hey, sorry, you got to put some more money in. And then they got those things called phone cards. I don't know if you remember that. And there was like a 100-digit number you had to put in. You're like, what was it? And you're trying to, and you felt like, man, I could talk forever because I have a phone card that's charged up. All right, you remember that? Then we also, the thing I was thinking about is, remember when we had, when you listen to music, now we listen on our phones and we've got Alexa or whatever. And now, but if you remember this is what we had back in the day. Those were boom boxes, as we call them. I mentioned breakdancing last time I was here. We're not going to talk about that again. But that's the way we played music. And it was amazing. And now we have phones and you can listen to kind of whatever you want on Spotify. It's amazing. Okay, it's really good. And then the other thing with our phones, we just have to admit, if you didn't have your phones, wherever you're going, wherever you're driving, we used to kind of know where things were. And we also used to know phone numbers. You remember when you'd like, so like, what's your phone number? I don't know. It's in my phone. I have no idea what my phone number is. I can remember my phone number as a kid, but now we don't know any of that stuff. And we don't know how to get anywhere. And if we don't have cell service, we're like, oh my gosh, you know, does the water run? What could go wrong? And so we become dependent on, and we used to use, as we all know, what are called maps, okay? And I will tell you, even then when maps were something used, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I have no idea where we are. And when I was the guy that when I unfolded the map, when I tried, it was like an origami project after that. You're like, and you just kind of throw it in the back seat, right? And remember, the other thing we did was we used to have to stop at what are called gas stations, and we would talk to people. But when we got lost, we would ask them for directions. Do y'all remember that? You'd go, hey, I'm looking for this place, and they would tell you about six things, and you get back in your car and go, I have no idea what they just said. And then you just drive around again to another gas station, and then you talk to them about how you're lost more. But now we have, you know, maps and GPS and all that stuff. It's amazing. And so tonight we're going to talk about a story in the scripture where things got better, okay? And our hope for this series is that you're going to see that there is life is better with Christ. And I don't mean your circumstances. I just mean his presence changes everything. And so we're going to look at a story that you're probably familiar with from the New Testament, that it's a story of Zacchaeus. And you guys think of that. You think of probably when you were in Sunday school or when you were at church, and you heard about this wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed up a sycamore tree, and that whole story. But this story has some amazing truth in it. And I want to start with, I don't know if y'all knew this, but Zacchaeus, his name means righteous one. Isn't that just like the Lord to give the name righteous one to Zacchaeus? And Zacchaeus, to the Jewish people of his day, was anything but righteous. They did not consider him to be a righteous guy. In fact, they saw him as who he was, the chief tax collector. He was rich. The word tells that he was despised. Tax collectors were social outcasts in their day. They were not people that were liked and favored. He worked for the unclean Gentiles. He was like, man, they don't even work for the Jewish people. He's working for the Gentiles, and he's taken our money. And then they were also known, they were notorious for collecting money, a lot more money than they should. So Zacchaeus, this one whose name means the righteous one, was far from righteous. And it reminded me, right now, we're in the journey at Watermark. It's called Join the Journey. And we're going through 1 Corinthians, and we're actually studying that as a church, too. We're teaching that on Sunday mornings. And I was in 1 Corinthians 6 not too long ago, and I want to put these verses up there, 9 through 11. I want you to listen to this, because this really struck me as I was thinking about how probably the Jewish people at this, a lot of the people around Zacchaeus were self-righteous. They thought, oh, this guy, he was despised. They looked down on him. And some of that you get because he was doing things that weren't good to them. But listen to this. It says, and do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And when you read that, if you're like me, you're going, oh man, I think I could find myself on that list. And what I would tell you is it's very easy. What it's saying here is those who are enslaved to these practices, who are enslaved to this sin and have not been made free by Christ. Because look what the next verse says in verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Don't you love it when the scripture inserts but in there and it tells you this is what God's done. This is who you are, but this is what God has done for you. And this is where life change happens. And what I think my problem is sometimes I don't like to think of myself as the word some in there, but so were some of you. And here's what I tell you. You and I are in the some. That's the truth. Okay, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 6:23 says, for the wages of sin that we've committed is what we've earned is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So that's where our life comes from. That's where our hope comes from. And so I love that Zacchaeus' name means the righteous one, because I think the Lord knew he's going to come to meet Jesus and it's going to change everything. And so the first thing if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing I think you ought to write down is that Jesus and only Jesus makes the unrighteous like you and me righteous. Only him. And I think my problem is I like to look at my own righteousness and look down on others. I'm more probably like the Jewish people this time. There's a self-righteousness that can creep into my heart. And so I wonder tonight, where you are. If you came in here tonight and you may be saying, man, I'm in a place where I wouldn't even know if I was going to come together. I just showed up. I've been with you guys for the last few years, and I can remember talking with people, and they'll say, man, I've heard this a lot. I haven't been in church in a long time, and I just decided to come tonight. And maybe that's you. And we would tell you, we're so glad you're here. Okay, we're so glad that you chose to join us. Maybe some of you are in a place where you go, man, I'm really discouraged right now. I'm in a place where I'm living with a lot of disappointment. Maybe you're struggling with a certain sin that you're going, man, I'm kind of trapped and enslaved. I'm practicing some of those things that were mentioned there in the scripture. And I just need to see Jesus again tonight. Or maybe to see Jesus for the first time. And that's what was going on with Zacchaeus. And so there's an amazing story here that we're going to read together that you're familiar with, many of you. But let's read it. In Luke 19. So Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And he entered Jericho, this is Jesus, and he was passing through. One thing you got to take note of is that Jesus was just passing through Jericho, and it wasn't his plan to stay there, but things changed as he sees Zacchaeus. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. If you see in the scripture, a lot of times they will have a person's name and then a describing phrase after them. And so that was what Zacchaeus was known as. He was rich and a tax collector, and people did not like him. And look, verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. He was a wee little man. So it says he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And I want you guys to think about that, this question. Sometimes the second thing you could write down is the crowds make it hard for us to see Jesus. They do. And he couldn't see them because he was blocked by the crowds. And I wonder for you, what's the crowd for you? What's the thing right now in your life that's making it hard for you to see Jesus? Maybe it is people. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's relationships that are distracting you. Maybe it's, you know, like the scripture says, bad company corrupts good morals. You're hanging out with folks that aren't pushing you towards Christ or steering you that way. And you just go, man, it's hard for me to see Jesus because of the people I'm running with. Maybe it's your own pride. Maybe you're going, man, I think I can handle this life on my own. And I want you to see that many of us can get stuck there. All of a sudden, we're discouraged with what's happening, the relationships we have. We maybe feel stuck in a sin pattern, whatever it is. And we get stuck there and we go, well, it's not easy to see Jesus right now. And we just stay there. Because Zacchaeus at this point could have said, man, I can't see him. I'm going to head home. But when he saw the crowds gathering, when Jesus came into town, crowds gathered, and he wanted to see Jesus. And my question for you is, maybe tonight, do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to really know him and walk with him? And so look what Zacchaeus does in verse 4. And so he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And y'all see how that was a strange thing. Zacchaeus in his robe there, as he's running along, all of a sudden he breaks out like a young boy. He breaks out, and then he climbs this tree so he could see the Lord. And I love that a man in this picture of the scripture becomes a boy. He becomes like a young boy. He goes, man, I want to see Jesus. I'll do whatever it takes to see him. And so I want you to think about where in Luke 18:17, it says, truly I say to you, whoever has not received the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And so I want you to think about Zacchaeus kind of becomes a young boy. He runs up, he wants to see the Lord. And I want you to think about how a young child might receive the Lord. Because that's what it's saying, to receive him. And so I want you to think about things that young children do. They receive. So I think about when my boys were young, and now they're older. But when they were young, if we went into a parking lot, I'd reach out my hand and they'd grab my hand because they knew we were heading into a dangerous place, and they would trust their daddy to take them through the parking lot. And they'd trust that I'd lead them to safety. And so for you, where right now do you need to receive what the Lord has for you? Where do you need to trust him as a good father? And then I just think about when also my kids were little, when they would kind of crawl up in my lap and I would just hold them, they would sleep there on my shoulder. That was an amazing time with my sons. They wouldn't do that now. They're 22 and 20 and 17. That'd be a little weird. Come on over here, boy. But there's this sense of trust, and I can rest in my father's arms. And I think about that for me when I am in a good place with the Lord, when I'm really seeing Jesus for who he is, it's a place of rest. And I wonder for you tonight, if you're going, man, I feel so tired. I've been running my own game. I've been trying to figure this out. And maybe your pride is keeping you from really wanting to see Jesus, or maybe the stuff that we've been talking about tonight, you're going, man, I'm my vision for him is blocked by a lot of things. And maybe tonight you could just take some time to confess that to the Lord. Lord, I have let all these things, whatever the crowd or the things are, I've let them get in the way of me seeing you, and I want to see you. And I want to run up there, and I want to climb and see who you are. So maybe the Lord will allow you to do that tonight. If you read on here, it says, and then when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Don't you love that? Zacchaeus thought he was pursuing Jesus. I want to see him. And what was really happening here was Jesus was pursuing Zacchaeus. And so I want you to know that I think that's the way the Lord looks at you. I love what Jesus says there. He says, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today. He says, I must stay with you. So we see Jesus pursuing him and said, I want to be at your house. And I love that sense of, hey, hurry, come down. I must stay with you. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus, the way the Jewish people looked at him, he was a despised person, but Jesus looked at him as a precious lost sinner. That's what he saw. And so when Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he goes, if you knew me, kind of like the woman at the well, if you drank from me, you would not be thirsty again. And he's looking at Zacchaeus and he's going, if you knew me, you wouldn't be after all this money and you wouldn't be cheating people and your life would be changed because you would know me. And so what I want you guys to think about tonight is that maybe tonight again, maybe you're in a far away place from the Lord and the Lord's going, I haven't left. The word says that he's faithful even when we're faithless, for he can't deny himself. And so maybe tonight you're going, I feel distant, but the reality is the Lord has been faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us if you know him, if you put your trust in him. Maybe you don't know the Lord, and tonight is a chance he's going, I'm after you. I want you to know me. Just the same way he looked at Zacchaeus and he said, if you just would receive me, it'll change everything. And I want you guys to hear when we talk about life change, it starts and ends with a personal relationship with Christ. It really does. What I realize for me is when I try to change myself, I get in a lot of trouble. I think about an old milk jug, you know, at the bottom of a milk jug. If you got this old jug and it's got all the, a lot of times we wash those out and we'll crumple them up and we'll throw them away. But a lot of times what we try to do is try to stir up the junk at the bottom and try to pour it out. And we need to let the water of the, just let that flow through and clean that out and change the living water that Christ is, just to be your Savior and to go, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. And I know you're the only one that brings change. So tonight, I want you to realize that Zacchaeus thought he was seeking the Lord, but actually Jesus was seeking him. Here's what I think is true. The scripture says over and over, the Lord, here are the things that it says that Jesus wants to do in your heart. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be forgiven, redeemed. The word talks about us being adopted. Is that incredible? That with nothing, if an adopted person, you're not going, man, look at me, pick me. And the Lord's going, no, I choose you because of my grace and my love for you. So I want you to take note of that. Look what happens then. As Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. It says, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. I think what happened there is Zacchaeus went, Jesus is pursuing me and I'm in. And so he hurries down and he welcomes him joyfully. And I want you to notice what happens then. First, notice how the crowd responds. And this is where I get convicted. Because when I sometimes, again, am I not the righteous one because of Christ, in my self-righteousness, I can tend to be like the crowd here. Look what they did when Jesus and Zacchaeus are together. They said, and when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And it's just like they're going, can you believe he's hanging with him? And here's where we got to remind ourselves, can you believe that he'd want to hang with us? We're part of the sum, and so were some of you. And Jesus loves you enough to go, I want you to know me, and I want you to have a relationship with me. And so when we start to think too highly of ourselves, that's a scary place, because we all of a sudden we forget the amazing grace and the incredible love that's been lavished upon us by the Savior. Isn't it amazing that he would come after you and me and want us to have a relationship with him? So humbling. So then verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. This was not a good financial move for Zacchaeus. Okay, but this was an amazing sign of repentance. It was like, and let me just tell you this. Don't be confused here that because he did this, this made him receive salvation. It wasn't a works thing. It was a deal where he said once he'd received Jesus joyfully, it changed him. And you guys, that's where we get in trouble. We try to change ourselves. We try to fix ourselves. We try to be good people. And the Lord's going, there's not one who's good. That's what Romans 3:3 tells us. But with me, let me enter in and start to clean house. Let my spirit begin to change you. And so it's not you earning it. It's that what happened when he received Jesus, when he saw Jesus for who he was, it changed his life. He went, man, Lord, I don't care about the money anymore. In fact, I care. I'm convicted now that I've taken from others. I've defrauded from others, and I want to give them back four times what I took from them. Wouldn't that be amazing? Have you guys seen maybe in your own life or in the life of somebody else when the Lord, when they really got to know Jesus, it changed their lives? Because that's what happened. Here's what I'd tell you. We're saved by faith alone. Okay, but a saving faith never stands alone. There will be, if you're rooted in Christ, root bears fruit. Okay, when you have a relationship with him, then that moves you to, the Spirit begins to reign you. When you put your trust in Christ, the Spirit indwells you, and you let the Spirit begin to reign, and it changes you. That's how stories of life change happen as we talk about this for these next few weeks. So I want you to think about this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm just going to give a couple verses that show. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The key there is in Christ. Not if anyone has kind of changed their ways, then he's a new creation. Not if they've done good things. Not if you gave some money back to you should. That wasn't, he was, what happened with Zacchaeus, he became in Christ and it was a new creation. And because he's a new creation, he changed. The old passed away. The old guy who was taking money from people all of a sudden gave it back to them and gave them more than he took. It changes everything. Behold, the new has come. Look at this next one, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. In the Son. Faith in the Son is what brings change of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do y'all see it's all about faith in him, being in Christ. He is the one that brings change. And here's what's so frustrating for me is there are so many days that I try to bring change for myself. I try to muster the strength. I go, man, Lord, today I'm going to try to be a good person. The Lord just has to remind me, no, Bron, it's in Christ, with your spirit, when my spirit reigns in you, then you'll be different. If you try to do it on your own, you're trusting in your own strength. And I think about Jeremiah 17, which says, cursed is the one who trusts in his own strength, but blessed is the one whose trust is in God, whose trust is God. Okay, and so notice that. That'd be a fun little study for you. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Look at the difference in those who trust in man. It's a desert. It's a bush. It's death. And then there's one that trusts in the Lord, and it's all these things. They bear fruit. They don't worry about when drought comes. They're not anxious. It's incredible, the difference, but it's all about because of putting their trust in him, not in their own strength. And I am guilty of that a lot of days. So think about the day for Zacchaeus. Starts out, here comes Jesus. Okay, he's passing through. The crowds gather. Zacchaeus was curious. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. The crowd was against him and blocked him. Zacchaeus didn't let that stop him. He climbed the tree. Jesus pursued him. Jesus asked to come to his house. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus moved him to repentance and action. And then Jesus declared him a son of Abraham. Look at what verse 9 says. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to your house since he also is a son of Abraham. If you know your Old Testament, that's a big deal. The Abrahamic covenant was, Jesus was a fulfillment of that. And he was a son of Abraham because he was a child of the promise, not because he was Jewish or because of his ethnicity, but because he put his faith in Jesus. He received him. And that's why it makes room for all of us. Okay, that we'd say, man, I can be in Christ, and it changes. So can you imagine how Zacchaeus started his day? He's like, oh, it's going to be another day. I heard there's crowds gathered. I want to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, his life is completely wrecked and changed. And you know what? That's what the Lord wants to do with us. Isn't that incredible? Like tonight, I wonder, I was thinking about this, I was praying for y'all today. Is this your day? Is this the day, think about when Jesus passed through Jericho and everything changed for Zacchaeus? Maybe tonight you came to gather and you weren't planning on coming. You're like, I got talked into it, or somebody invited me. I don't even know if I just got invited. And you showed up and you thought you were just coming to gather, but maybe you heard the gospel tonight. You heard about the truth of who Jesus is. And you go, man, I want to know who he is. I want to see Jesus. Do you know that you can do that tonight? And you'll get a chance to talk to folks in your group tonight about it. God can take all of your unrighteousness and my unrighteousness, and he can lay it at the feet of the cross. At the foot of the cross, you can trust in Jesus. He has paid the price for your sin. The word says that he took him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we what? That we might obtain the righteousness of God. Okay, so it didn't take us becoming righteous. The righteous one, Zacchaeus' name, the reason he became the righteous one is because, really became that, was because of Jesus. And so I want to remind you guys that stories of life change, and we all want it, and we'd love to see the Lord work in our lives. It will be surrendering to him and realizing who we are in Christ, and maybe for the first time, putting our trust in his death, burial, and resurrection that he did for you because he loves you. So we're going to watch a video now of one of our leaders, Renee, who's going to share her story of life change. So let's watch this.
So I grew up in a home where my parents took me to church every single time the doors were open. We were there for Sunday school, big church, youth group, but I really thought about what I was taught as just stories. My parents prayed before dinner, but I didn't really see them having a personal relationship with the Lord. When I was 7, though, I came to know that I was a sinner and that only Jesus' death on the cross would allow me to go to heaven when I died. And so I accepted him as my Savior. I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get into too much trouble. I really relied on my good grades to make me feel good about myself, especially since I was teased a lot for being tall and lanky. So I constantly compared myself to other girls. They were always more pretty than I was, more athletic than I was, or more fun than I was. I always viewed myself in a negative way. So in middle school, I started experiencing anxiety. My thoughts would just circle around what-if situations. So I started trying to control my circumstances so that I wouldn't have to face anxiety and so that I felt good about myself. But I came to realize that I couldn't control everything. So in college and in my 20s, I was active in church. I attended church. I served in church, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord, and I didn't fully trust him. I was really waiting on life to start whenever I got married and had kids, and this mindset did not help with my struggle with anxiety in comparison. In my 30s, the Lord has been really kind to allow some very challenging situations that have proven that ultimately I'm not in control of my life and that I have to depend on him. Anxiety in comparison is something I still struggle with almost daily. Whenever I'm not spending time with the Lord and not focusing on him and who I am in Christ, those anxious thoughts spiral and I think of myself negatively and compare myself to other girls even today. And so when I spend time in his word and talking with him through prayer and being encouraged by others around me and reminded who I am, that's when I'm filled with peace and that's when I'm able to trust the Lord in whatever lies ahead in my future. Isaiah 26 says, "You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." This verse reminds me that if my mind is focused on Christ and who he is and the fact that he knows all things and never changes, that I'm going to be filled with peace. My name is Renee, and this is my story of life change.
Hey, one thing I want you to take note of there is what we're not saying, what Renee was so clear about, is that life change didn't mean that her circumstances did remain to be challenging. All kinds of challenging things are going to happen with us. The difference is as she's learned to grow and lean on the Lord, it's changed the way she's responded to those circumstances. There's a peace that can come from walking with Jesus. So when we talk about life change, it's really about the change that Jesus is going to bring to help you respond in a way to go, man, I can trust you, Lord. Even when things are hard, I can have peace in Christ. So it's a different thing that we're talking about. I want to make sure you hear that. And so I wanted to share this with you guys tonight as we wrap up. For the last 3.5 years, have had the chance to direct here at Gather. And now there's a new position that I'm going to be taking at Watermark to direct the Institute, which is our program where we train people for ministry. And one of the things I'm so grateful for has been the fact that Bobby and Lindsay and Brittany and now Trevor, that we have such a great team. And then we have an incredible group of volunteer leaders here that have been such a blessing to me. And then I want to tell you guys how you have changed me in my life, just spending this last 3.5 years with many of you. And so I wrote down just a couple of things I want to express to you guys. One, I've had a front row seat to see the way you all love and serve each other. And it has been an example to me. It has spurred me on to be more of a lover of people. And I've been so encouraged by it. And one specific way that happens all the time is when we wrap up with Gather, we always have people stay here till really late. Okay, I love that you guys love to hang and talk. And, you know, we're like, the sun's coming up. We got to get out of here. And y'all are still hanging. And so I love watching that. And it's been such an encouragement to me as a brother in Christ. Second thing I would tell you is that I remember the first Gather meeting that I left. I went and got in my car afterwards. And I just said, Lord, thank you so much for letting me pastor again. And because what had happened was before I came to Gather, I was the director of student ministries here at Watermark for 17 years and got to start the student ministry and all that. It was an amazing time. But I'd built a team there and I had all these guys and I had started to kind of just lead my staff and they were doing great. And it just became a time where I wasn't getting as much time with the people. I was mainly investing in my staff. And so this has been such a gift to me to get to hang with y'all. And I'm really, really thankful. And then the third thing I would tell you is that you guys, many of you who are here at Watermark, there's a bunch of you that I've really gotten to know. And I remember I was at the Shane and Shane concert, the Christmas concert, this last December. And I remember looking around and thinking, I know so many folks in this room who are from Gather. And it just blessed me. It's like, those are people I might not have ever had the opportunity and the blessing of having a relationship with because I'd be in different parts of the church. And so it has been such a gift to me to have the opportunity to know you. And then some of you who are not from Watermark and have been coming faithfully together, we're so glad we get to know you and invest in you and be encouraged by you also. So I just wanted you guys to hear. They're probably going to let me come back every once in a while if I force them or Pam or something to come speak or teach or whatever. But just know this has been such a blessing to my life, and I'm really, really thankful. All right, let me pray. Thank you. Thanks. All right, thank you, brother. Okay, let me pray. Father, we're so thankful for your kindness. Thank you that for so many of us in this room, you opened our eyes. You lift the veil that we might see Jesus, and it's changed everything. And it didn't mean that life got easy. It meant that we had a shelter in the storm. It meant that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. It meant that you were with us in the boat, that when the storms come up in life, you're there. and you are Lord over the storms. And it meant that this life isn't all there is, and that we know there's a life to come. We're going to go be with you, Lord. And so we're so, so thankful for that. And for my friends in the room who maybe don't know you, I just pray that you are, that Jesus, you just come after their hearts tonight, and that they would see you for who you really are, and they could realize tonight they could be in Christ because of your amazing grace and your incredible kindness that leads us to repentance. So thank you for tonight. Would you bless now the small group times that we talk about what it really means to know and walk with Jesus, and we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.